Today's sermon text comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your peace and your wisdom in this hour as we reflect on such a powerful passage of Scripture. Help us, Lord, to be caught by your mission and to respond affirmatively to your call to come and follow you and to fish for people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it has been almost 32 hours since nine of us returned from Guatemala. And to be honest with you, I have slept at least half of those. And I still feel a little bit behind. It has been a tremendous week, a tremendous trip for our entire church. Only nine of us went from this church, 14 total, five from Meridian Church of God as well. 14 of us traveled to Guatemala for the week, and my contention has been all along that this was not just a trip for the nine of us, or a trip for the 14 of us, but this has been a trip for all of us, from both churches, to participate in, even though only some of us went. This has been a church event, and I'd like to process this event with you a bit today, in the context of this passage from Luke 5. And I'd like to do it starting with a phrase that had been running through my mind all week in Guatemala. I said this the other day to the team as we gathered to reflect in our evening devotions time. We had an evening time of gathering to share thoughts and reflections about the day, every day. And one night I said to the group, and I'll say to you now, I've been thinking a lot about space this week. Not Star Trek kinds of space, don't worry, we're not going there. But I've been thinking about space this week. You see, in Guatemala, there's a much different understanding of space than we have. Someone said it well, I think it was Joe, that our personal bubbles in this culture are rather large. And if someone comes too close to you, you know that they're too close to you, and that is offsides, it's off limits. But in the city, at least in Guatemala City, the personal space is much different there. There is none. You don't have personal space. Everyone's everywhere all the time. And that's something that we had to kind of adjust to. that says something to me, I think, about the importance of Christian community. We spent a lot of time near the church, which is at the tracks. By the way, we need to show pictures and share stories and things like that sometime. A plan is in the works for us to maybe have, I don't want to go too far afield here, but to have a joint event some evening, Sunday evening perhaps, within a month, where both churches can come together at either here or there, and we can have food and share stories and show pictures and all this stuff. So that will come, but not today. We're still recovering on sleep, things like that. The tracks, why did I think about that? That's because Pastor Jerry has called this area the tracks, and that didn't really make sense to me until we got there and saw what it was. It literally is a pair of railroad tracks, a set of tracks that is no longer in operation, and then the houses have been built literally on the sides of these tracks. That is the pathway, the main road in this little community, a squatting community. And near this, just next door to it, is a church that has been built up on a rather busy road there. And this church, this Christian community that has sort of sprung up along the tracks there, is such a place that there is no personal space boundary. Everyone is in relationship with everyone else all the time, and you really can't get away from everybody else. I think that's a good symbol of what Christian community should be about. Not that we have to be in such personal contact with each other all the time, but that our lives are so intertwined with each other. Our Christian walks are so similar to each other's that we can't help but stumble across each other's paths all the time. I think there's something important there. Another reason I was thinking about space this week is because of the transformation of space that we saw. When we arrived, the project for us to work on was to help build a cement block house for a family of five, a mom and dad and three little children. When we arrived there, the workers had already begun building the cement walls. They had taken down the tin shack that used to occupy that space and had begun building the structure of the cement walls there, the block walls. And our work was to help construct some of those walls. We mostly got in the way, but did a little bit of good work anyway. It seemed like more work always got done when we weren't there than when we were. But we helped anyhow, and we tried not to break anything and cause any problems. By the end of the week, there was a building there. There were walls, there were dividing spaces for different rooms inside this space. How large should we say this house was? Probably the size of the platform here. That's about the size of the space that will be the home for this family of five. And there are four rooms built inside it, and a bathroom off to the side, and all this other stuff. And by the end of the week, there were the walls and a roof over the top of it. They still have a couple of weeks of work left to do on this particular house. They have to pour cement flooring, and Robert, you know exactly how that would go. And then they have to plaster all the walls and paint them, and then it'll be ready to move in. Do all the electrical work and all the other stuff that will go inside it too. But to see in the span of 1 week the transformation of that space from an open air, open to the sky, full of really rubble and piles of blocks. Well, we had to put the piles of blocks there. But to see it go from that to something that looked like you could live in it, really. To see the transformation of that space was really profound to me. Because it said something about the value of home, the value of having a place that is home base. And it said something to me about the value of the transformation that Christ can bring inside our lives. We, if we are honest with ourselves, are nothing but an open air pile of rubble that has some building blocks in it, that has been marked by the curse of sin. But when Christ comes into our lives and begins the work of rebuilding our lives, transforming us into something that we could not have imagined before, something that can withstand the rainy season and the winds and all the perils that come, then we begin to see something of what it means to follow Christ and how he can change us and bring us into fullness of life. I've been thinking a lot about space this week. So I'd like to look again at this passage from Luke 5. In terms of space, what has happened in this story in terms of space? Jesus is teaching the crowds. They are clamoring for his attention to hear the word of God from the word of God. And the crowds are so large and so dense that Jesus has to seek more space. He gets into a boat and pushes off from the coast so that he can have room to have his voice spread out to all the crowd that has gathered. He asks Simon Peter, to create space for this exercise. And after the teaching is done, Jesus asks Simon Peter to make space in a different way. He asks Simon to make space for fish. Cast your nets out. Let's push off into the deep water. Cast your nets out. And let's see what happens. Despite Peter's disbelief, despite Peter's exhaustion, despite Peter's doubt, an enormous catch is brought in. And after the catch is done, after the nets are nearly breaking and the boats are nearly sinking, Jesus asks Peter one more time to make space, this time for mission. Come and follow me. You will now catch men, people, boys and girls, men and women, not fish, but humans. Despite Peter's sinfulness, despite his perhaps low self-esteem, perhaps his doubt, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus calls him to make space to be on mission. I find it pretty easy to identify with Peter at this particular point. And I think that's what Luke intends for us to do, to identify with Peter, the one who is called to make room for Jesus and his call and his mission. Because we too tend to doubt our usefulness for kingdom work. We too tend to disallow making space for Christ in us, something which Paul calls the hope of glory. Yet this story shows that when people create room for Jesus in themselves, then they can be sent on a mission that transforms. A mission that transforms the world, and perhaps more importantly, a mission that transforms themselves. You see, we went to Guatemala to build a house and to meet hundreds of people, children and parents and people who spoke Spanish and a little bit of English, and we did the reverse. We spent so much time with all of these people at the tracks and at a couple of different orphanages and lots of different ministry places in Guatemala and the surrounding region. We went there to transform, but really what happens on trips like these is that we are the ones who are transformed. The work continues. The houses continue to be built. Orphanages continue to run with the people who live there full-time and staff them. We just went to visit. We went to be transformed. And to transform. But for Peter, see, the catch of fish was not the really important thing. Think how much of a boon that would have been to his fishing industry. To have so many fish that it would sink two boats. How many fish does it take to sink a boat? I mean, that's a lot of fish. I don't know much about fishing, but it takes a lot of fish. How much of an economic windfall would that have been? Peter leaves it. To transform himself, Jesus calls Peter to leave everything and follow him. To transform the world, sure. But perhaps the greater work is the transformation that took place in Peter in that moment. We are called constantly to experience Christ and to make room for him in our lives. It happens every time we gather here on Sunday mornings. It happens every time we pray, every time we open the Bible to read it, every time the Holy Spirit prompts us. We are called to make room inside ourselves for Christ. And one lesson that came for me out of this trip to Guatemala is that that call for making room for Christ can happen at any place, and it can happen at any time. Wherever we find ourselves, Christ is calling us to make room in ourselves for him so that we might be transformed and be on mission for his sake. What does this passage from Luke 5, the story of Jesus calling a few disciples, the first disciples, the first that he would call in Luke, he did it once more a little bit later in this chapter. What does this story from the first part of Luke 5 say to us today? If I were to boil it down to one sentence, I would say this. This story from Luke 5 tells us that making space for Christ is a dangerous, transformative, and mission-creating thing to do. It's dangerous, not in the sense that there might be personal harm that comes to Peter, who is called to go on mission. He's not going to drown in his boat because it's about to sink. No, it's dangerous because Simon Peter encounters Christ in an authentic way, in a real way that makes Simon realize the difference between himself and Jesus. Put out from the water, put out from the coast a little bit, go out into the deep water, let your nets down. Okay. My goodness, we have so many fish. We have so many fish. We've been out here all night, and there have not been any fish to be caught. And now suddenly there are. And something clicks in Peter's brain. This is not normal. This is divine. And he says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter realizes in that instant a healthy self-understanding of himself, of what it means to be human. The human cannot entertain the divine. There cannot be human and godly in the same moment, or else the human will be taken away. The human will be destroyed completely because the divine is so holy, is so righteous. This is what Isaiah was saying back in Isaiah chapter 6. I am not worthy to be in God's presence. And the angel brings a coal, a live burning coal from the altar of God, carries it with tongs and touches Isaiah's lips and says, "Now you have been made clean. And by the way, I'm sending you on mission." The same thing happens for Peter here. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." He understands who he is. A sinner in need of redemption. A sinner in need of a calling. And Jesus does both of those for him at the same time. Making space for Christ is a dangerous thing to do. Making space for Christ is also a transformative thing. Simon and his partners James and John will now fish for people and not for fish. It changes everything about what they are to be about. This is a call to missional thinking. Now, from now on, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is more valuable than catching fish. Sharing the message of Christ with those around them is more valuable to Peter, James, and John, and the others who would follow, than being economically well off, than persisting in the careers that they had pursued up to that point. Following the call of Christ is now more important than what has happened in the past. It's transformative. Making space for Christ means that we will change. The only question is how and when. Making space for Christ is also mission creating. It's not mission concluding, but mission creating. Simon experiences Christ, but is not allowed to revel in that experience. We've got hundreds of fish. This is amazing. I can worship God and praise God and thank Him for this mountaintop experience, this spiritual high. Look at what God has done in my life. No, Jesus says, leave it. Leave it behind and follow me. The job wasn't done when the fish were caught. The job had just begun. And it really didn't have anything to do with the fish at all. This mission experience that we experienced this past week in Guatemala seems to be done because we're back. But something that Pastor Jerry has said from the very beginning, even before we left, is that it's something very true. It's that the mission of Christ begins really when we get home again. because we're not going to live in Guatemala forever. At least not right now, anyway. We're not going to live in Guatemala. We live here. This is home for us. This is where God has set us to be on mission. The mission begins now. And it includes all of us, not just the 9 or 14 of us who went to Guatemala. The mission of Christ is something that begins all the time. It is a continually beginning kind of service. Our work in Christ spurs us on to more service in His name. Peter, James, and John experienced the tremendous high of seeing God at work in their lives and then moved on to the next thing. And then moved on to serving again. And then moved on to catching people and adding them into the kingdom. This Guatemala trip was an exercise in making space for Christ. It was dangerous. Not physically. We were never really in physical harm, except perhaps when we were standing on the side of the road and the buses would be going right past us. I mean, personal space is really a tremendously different thing there. Kind of scary at times, but we were not in physical harm. We were in danger of understanding ourselves correctly as sinful people who have been redeemed, as people who are walking alongside these other beautiful folks who live in this particular area in another country and speak a different language. It was dangerous for us because it led us to a better understanding of ourselves. It was transformative for us. The church there, the community there are strong. We were transformed more than the people we met. And it was mission creating. While we did accomplish a great deal, we helped transform a pile of rubble into something that looks like a home. We are more aware than before that our work as disciples must carry on here at home. Discipleship and mission. Discipleship and reaching out are the two big themes of what I believe God has called us at Mount Haley Church to do. And I see those two things more now more than ever as being intertwined with each other, interwoven with each other, inseparable from each other. To be a disciple means that you are called to reach out to other people for His sake. The two parts of our mission cannot be separated from each other. Love of God is incomplete unless we respond affirmatively to the call of Christ. From now on, we will catch men and women and boys and girls, Guatemalans, Michiganders, kids at the tracks, kids in the Bullock Creek system, parents struggling to make ends meet. In both cultures, we face the same kinds of problems. The call of Scripture is for us to make space within ourselves for Christ to move in. And then to prepare for this encounter to propel us forward on mission for His name's sake. So may it be that Mount Haley Church of God is transformed by this experience that some of us shared personally, firsthand, in another land, so that our mission here in Mount Haley Township, in Midland County, in Lower Michigan, might be Christ-centered and effective and dramatic. May we be propelled on mission for His name's sake. Simon and the others didn't know what laid ahead of them, and neither do we. But we know whom we are following. We know where we are going. So let us be on mission. Amen. Lord God, we give You thanks this day for calling us to make room for You in our lives. We give You thanks this day for calling Simon and James and John to follow You, leaving everything else behind. Lord, this day we commit to You everything that we have and everything that we are, so that we might follow You in Your mission. Make us Your disciples and make us Your missionaries, to share the good news of Christ with those around us because of the goodness that has come into our lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to your call and to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And may we ever be about your business this day, in the days to come, and in the years to come. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, as we close today, we have a hymn to sing. It's one of our Church of God heritage hymns. It's entitled Wholehearted Service. If you want to follow along in the hymnal, it's number 515. I'd like you to stand if you're able as we sing this song together. We'll sing all four of its... One, three, and four. Three of its verses. One, three, and four. Use this time as a time of committing yourself again to the work of God in your life. Each of us is at a different place in our walks with Christ. Some of us are needing to make room for Christ in ourselves and allow Him to come in and begin the work of transformation. Some of us have already begun that process and now need to leave things behind so that we can follow Him on His mission, whatever His call is for you. Some of us have been on that mission for a while, have been fishing for a while, and it seems like the nets keep coming up empty. We need to hear once again the call of Christ to let the nets out once more and see what work He can do. Wherever you are on the walk of discipleship, this is a time for us to commit ourselves to that work. So sing this song as a commitment to Christ. Listen to those around you singing it as a way of committing themselves to Christ. And know that, always, as always, our altars are always open for you to come and pray and commit yourself to the work that God is giving you to do. But let's sing this song as a way of putting this into action in our lives together. Connie, would you introduce this to us?